It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. We're going to be discussing Alzheimer's disease, what it is, what it isn't, specifically warning signs of the disease. I'm very excited to have my guest, Peter Baker, here. He's an LCSW, and he's Program Director for the Alzheimer's Association for the Maine Chapter. Peter owns a master's degree, holds a master's degree in social work from the University of Southern Maine, and has been working in dementia care since 2006. And as Program Director for the Alzheimer's Association, he oversees the care and support services provided by the Maine Chapter, serving the entire state. If you want more information about anything that we talk about, log on to alz.org, alz.org, and you will be thrilled with the amount of information on that website. Peter, thank you for being on the phone today. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Carol.
I was really impressed by your website. I printed off like 20 pages of information for research. There's so much, and it's just really all of it excellent. So,
awesome. We want to be comprehensive and help people in this, what is often a challenging journey.
Yes, absolutely. Can you give me an overview of what the Alzheimer's Association actually does and what the resources you have?
For sure. And as you saw on our website, it's quite a bit. So the Alzheimer's Association is the leading voluntary health organization in Alzheimer's care, support, and research. We were founded back in the 1980s. So we've been around a while. And actually, our main chapter was founded in the 80s, right in Scarborough, in a caregiver's living room. So we've really grown a lot, but we offer a lot of different services and resources for people navigating not just Alzheimer's disease, but other dementias as well. We have a 24/7 helpline where people can ask questions, get resources, talk with master's level clinicians, and really have that confidential support by some experts that understand and can really help people learn more about the disease and learn strategies that might be helpful in caregiving. We have a great website.
I can only imagine the help that the caregivers get by logging on this website.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we've got support groups, we have education, we've got amazing volunteers. We're here in Maine, we cover all the way from Elliott to Fort Kent and beyond and everywhere in between. So we've got a lot of volunteers doing support groups, helping us with education. We do a lot as far as advocacy. So going to Washington, D.C. and Augusta to really just advocate for policies and rules and regulations that will benefit those living with dementia and their caregivers, and hopefully also make this a little bit easier. So we want people to know that we're a great resource to turn to when a diagnosis like Alzheimer's is given. And we want to be one of those first stops.
Do you have a sense or numbers for me on how many people are affected by this disease in Maine?
Great question. So right now, for Alzheimer's disease, we estimate it to be around 28,000 individuals, and that is expected to increase. By 2025, we're expecting around 35,000 individuals. And with those people living with the disease, we know that there's an estimated 69,000 caregivers currently. So there's a lot of people impacted, for sure.
So let's get into dementia versus Alzheimer's, because they're not interchangeable. So what is the difference? I know it can be very confusing, and many people think that they're synonymous, but they really mean different things.
You're exactly right. And I think when we're out there doing education programs and our volunteers are, this is one of the most common questions we get, too, is what's the difference? Is dementia and Alzheimer's the same thing? And my answer to that is dementia isn't a single disease. It's kind of an umbrella term, much like cancer is. So there's many different causes of cancer, and there's many different types of dementia. For folks over the age of 65, about 60 to 80% of cases are believed to be of the Alzheimer's type. So a lot of people living with dementia have Alzheimer's. But one can have dementia and have a different form, such as vascular dementia, which used to be called hardening of the arteries, where blood flow isn't getting to the brain. And you encounter similar but slightly different symptoms as well. And there's a lot of other variants. There's Lewy body dementia. There's Huntington's disease. There's you know, quite a few variants of alternate forms of dementia as well.
So then what is Alzheimer's?
Great question. So Alzheimer's is a type of dementia, and it's affecting the brain in ways where we're seeing neurons die and changes over time. It's a progressive disease. So in the early stages, many people, just like you and I, are able to do a lot, be independent, but might start to notice changes that are unusual. And I think we're going to talk about some of the warning signs in a little bit. As the disease progresses, people start needing more support. And as it gets into the middle and late stages, people are needing really 24/7 support from a family member, a caregiver, a loved one, or even a professional to help with some of their needs.
And I know that sometimes memory loss, seniors, and I've heard them say, if they have even slight memory loss, they're convinced that that's just, it's the beginning of the end and they have Alzheimer's. Mm. When a lot of times it can be caused by urinary tract infections or vitamin deficiencies, can you address that memory loss isn't always dementia or Alzheimer's?
For sure. And that's a question we get frequently on our helpline. People calling up and being concerned about their own cognitive well-being. And I think we all have those moments where we're like, why isn't my memory working? And one thing that we know is as we age, our brain ages. But there's still so many people that get into their 90s or even their hundreds or are sharp as a tack and don't experience the cognitive changes that are associated with dementia. However, we do know that age is the biggest risk factor. So 1 in 9 over the age of 65 will develop a dementia, and 1 in 3 in their 80s will develop a dementia. So risk certainly increases. And one of the things we know is when you've got concerns, the best thing to do is to talk with a provider and really explore that, because there can be a lot of other things that can cause dementia-like symptoms that aren't dementia at all.
So for people who are experiencing some memory loss and now they're very fearful and maybe are unlikely to tell a provider because they're scared, kind of, if I ignore it, it will go away, what do you say to them?
You know, I often tell people if they're experiencing changes that are, you know, disruptive to their life, you know, what an opportunity to figure out what's causing that. And it may not be dementia. You know, depression often looks like dementia when you see memory changes, when you see mood and behavioral changes. You know, that can look like thyroid issues. Even medication side effects. I had someone attend one of our classes once, and she was driving to the grocery store. She'd lived in the same community for 30, 40 years, and she got lost, and she thought, oh my goodness, I think I have Alzheimer's disease. But instead of sitting on that and just being like, I don't want to know, she went and talked with a provider. And lo and behold, it was a new cardiac medication she had been prescribed. That medication was changed, and her cognition returned to its normal baseline, and she was able to get her way to and from the grocery store just fine.
That's
but
a great story.
If she hadn't done that, she wouldn't have been able to live her life to the fullest, and she would have been living with these symptoms that were treatable.
That's a great story, and it really speaks to they automatically go straight to Alzheimer's when sometimes it just isn't. So really seeing your doctor right up front can make a huge difference.
And really having some explanation, because I think so many of us might go to our doctor and say, you know what, I'm concerned about my memory. And I know many providers, you know, might say, you know, a lot of us are. But when we're able to go and say, I'm concerned about my memory, or I'm concerned about my cognitive functioning, and here's a handful of concrete examples that illustrates my concern. I think when people do that, the doctor has more information and is able to better assess.
Do you recommend that people write down, so when they've realized I forgot to take my medication yesterday and they start seeing patterns, to write that down and take that to their providers and say, this is why I'm concerned?
I think having a good log and good illustrative examples can be really valuable. And sometimes even asking family members, are you noticing this with me too? Have you noticed changes? Because one of the big things is it's a change from the norm. If you've never been good with remembering names and now you continue to not be good, then that's not a really big indicator. But if you were always really good at something and now you're struggling with it, what a good opportunity to figure out what's causing it. Then you know how to tackle and move forward.
And even if it is the beginnings of something, that early diagnosis and perhaps early treatment can make a big difference. Is that right? And all hope isn't lost.
100%. We often talk to the benefits of early diagnosis, and we talk about this with healthcare providers too, that while we don't have a pill, we don't have a cure, we don't have anything that's going to stop the disease currently, what we do know is early detection is best. Because when someone is diagnosed early and told, you know, you're living with Alzheimer's disease, it allows them to have so many of the benefits of talking with family, getting legal and financial things together, you know, maybe doing things that they were putting off for the future. I had someone that really wanted to see all the national parks, and they, with this diagnosis, they said, you know what, we need to do this sooner versus later.
And advancements are made every day on the treatment. So when we come back, we will talk about the 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's and what they are. We'll explain that to you. The helpline is 1-800-272-3900. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk and the Alzheimer's Association. When we left, I promised you that we would talk about the 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's. So Peter, you are up. What is the first warning sign? And these are all available on your website, alz.org.
They are. And we periodically do this class in person around the state. It's called our 10 Warning Signs class, and it's available online in a recorded format so people can really watch it and get more detail into these warning signs. So one of the things we often say about people living with dementia is if you know one person living with Alzheimer's, you know one person. This disease affects all of us differently. We're all different people, so we have different personalities. So really, these warning signs vary, and some of them may show up in some people and not in others. But these are the 10 things to kind of be on the lookout for. And if you're encountering them and they're disrupting your life, then there's something, or the life of a loved one, this is something to talk with a healthcare provider about.
And you don't necessarily need all of them to discuss.
No, not at all. You know, and some of them you might notice earlier, some of them you might notice later. So it doesn't need to be all of them. But these are kind of the hallmarks of what could be dementia.
Okay.
So the first one, and this is the one we talk about the most often with this disease, because I think this is often the most noticeable one, is memory loss that disrupts daily life. So that's changes in cognition and memory that are really impacting that person's functioning, you know, forgetting how to do things that they were able to do, forgetting that short-term memory is often the hallmark of Alzheimer's. So people are asking the same questions. They're repetitive, and they're not remembering later as often. There can be another warning sign is challenges in planning or solving problems. So we talk a lot about driving and getting lost. It can be a concern as someone's dementia advances, but it's also all the things we need to do when we're driving. So it's not just the disorientation. It can be the, you know, having trouble figuring out what to do in the event of an accident.
Or what about, I've heard not being able to do a recipe that maybe was an old family recipe that you don't even need to write down, or
that's
paying bills.
Example. Yeah. So we might need cues when we've got stress and other things going on in our lives, but if it's something we were able to do really easy in the past and now we can't, you know, that's that difficulty completing familiar tasks is something that, ooh, that might be a concerning item. Like, I was able to do this, why can't I do it now?
And going back to the memory loss that disrupts daily life, the typical age-related, though, would be like sometimes forgetting something, but not consistently. So if someone forgets an appointment, not to worry if it's occasional.
Yeah. Exactly. If there's occasional things, and while I sometimes even say this is typical life, not just even typical aging, that we all have those moments where we forget an appointment, or we forget a name, or we're telling someone about this great book we were reading, and we can't remember the title of it. And then it often comes to us later. And that's pretty normal. You know, when we're busy, when we're stressed, when we're fatigued, when we're hungry, all of those things can worsen our memory. So if we're feeling good in all of those areas, we often notice that our memory works better. And that's true. That can be true for someone with early stages of Alzheimer's too, that, you know, they had a really good day and they're feeling great. And wow, their memory seems to be working better today. So it really varies. Functioning can vary too, from person to person.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. What is number three?
So number three is the difficulty completing familiar tasks. So that, like you said, might be a recipe. That might be, you know, you are always the one to manage the finances, and now you're having trouble balancing your checkbook. Those are good indicators that there might be a concern, because those were once things you were able to do quite easily.
And all of these warning signs have with them, if you log onto the website, the warning sign compared to the typical age-related change.
They do. So it goes into some of the things that's normal versus some things that might be something you want to explore more. The next warning sign is confusion with time or place. So what might be normal, and I talk with a lot of folks that are retired, that you wake up and you wonder, what day is it, for a second? But then you use your cues, you use your tools, and you're realizing it's Wednesday. So someone living with dementia might not be able to use those tools, and there can be a more profound confusion. It might be confusion with day and night. It might be a confusion of time and life. So they might not think it's 2019, but instead think it's in the 1980s or something like that. So that can sometimes happen too.
All right. And number five?
Number five is trouble understanding visual images and spatial relationships. Again, these dementias, not just Alzheimer's, but other dementias, is a full brain disease. Much like heart disease that's affecting the full heart, this is affecting the full brain. So often people living with dementia might have visual spatial changes. So something moving really fast might appear like a blur. A shiny floor might appear like there's ice or water on it, because the communication from the eyes to the brain isn't working in the same way as it would for a healthy individual.
Do people who have this, do they experience falls more often because they can't see that spatial distance?
That's a really good indicator, too. It's not uncommon that people might have gait changes, and falls become extremely high risk, especially as this disease progresses. And it's not uncommon that a fall with a major injury is you know, makes the disease progress more quickly.
And number six.
Yeah, number six is new problems with words and speaking or writing. So this is one that I often talk to people living with dementia. I've had the privilege of meeting so many amazing folks that are living with this disease and living well and, you know, adjusting their routines but continuing to do a lot on their own. And new problems, some things that they sometimes explain is, you know, I'm mid-conversation and I'm losing track. Or, you know, I'm reading a book and I'm realizing I'm forgetting things, or I'm not able to retain that information like I used to. So that awareness, or sometimes that noticing that in a loved one, might be a concern too. We all sometimes say the wrong thing or put our foot in our mouth. You know, that's normal life as well. But when these are more profound changes than that.
And I see the typical age-related change attached to this is sometimes having trouble finding the right word, and that happens to me all the time. So I'm relieved to know that I may just be getting older. When we come back, we will finish up these 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's. Log on to alz.org, or call 1-800-272-3900. We'll be right back right after this. Hey, we're back with Peter Baker, Alzheimer's Association. So the 10 warning signs, Peter, we're up to number seven.
Yeah, number seven is misplacing things and losing the ability to retrace steps. So I often use this example as the normal thing, is going into the grocery store and coming out and wondering, where did I park my car again? you know, that is a good common thing to happen. It's when someone is struggling and they're not able to use their strategies to find that car, and maybe they're having to call for help because they can't locate it. That might be a bigger concern.
You know that thing where you think of something, say you go into a room to get something and you forget what it was, and people say, go back to where you were when you thought of it originally and you'll remember, and which works. But if you have Alzheimer's, that piece is missing, right? That if you go back to the other room, you don't recall what you were going to do.
It often is. So, you know, sometimes people in those early stages are still able to do that, but often we see that ability deteriorate.
Number eight.
Yeah, number eight is decreased or poor judgment. And I think this goes to normal life. You know, we make bad decisions sometimes. But when someone is living with dementia, those bad decisions aren't always, the person's not always able to think it out. You know, that problem-solving piece that we mentioned earlier is impacted. So someone might go out in the winter with inappropriate clothes on and not recognize that.
Number nine
is withdrawal from work or social activities. A percentage of people are acutely aware they're experiencing these symptoms. Maybe they went out all the time with their buddies for coffee, and now, you know, they're not going out on a weekly basis anymore because they're not able to keep up, or they're recognizing that they're struggling in different areas. And we know isolation is bad for all of us, so sometimes that can even exacerbate some of these other symptoms.
All right. Go ahead.
Then I think number 10 is probably one of the other scary ones for folks, and that's changes in mood and personality. And what we encounter, again, all of these vary from person to person. Sometimes you don't experience all of these. Sometimes the mood and personality of the individual remains consistent, and sometimes we see someone that was always really happy and easygoing become a lot more irritable and easy to frustrate, or vice versa, someone that wasn't perhaps the friendliest person becoming a lot more friendly and easygoing. So there can be really that profound level of change sometimes too.
And again, these warning signs are all available at alz.org. So, and you can print them off and even make notes. The way it's laid out is beautiful, so that someone can do that. And you have coming up, so the Alzheimer's Association does walks across the state. How did this begin? And tell me what the walks are really about. I know they're huge and very successful.
They are huge. So we have walks held annually in 600 communities nationwide, but in 7 locations here in the fall here in Maine. So in September, October, it's our walk season, and it really helps fund our mission and all the programs and services we do. It started years ago. I don't have the exact year, but I'm anticipating perhaps even I have a T-shirt at home that's the 25th anniversary, and I think we're coming up on another big one. So we've been doing it for a while, but it really helps fund our mission. People can go to alz.org/walk and see all 7 locations and find ways to participate. But it's our big way of increasing awareness about the disease and increasing funds for Alzheimer's care, support, and research. And I sometimes call it our largest support group, because when you see the hundreds of people that are impacted by this disease and really want to help us find a way to get better treatments and support people as they're navigating this, It's such a powerful event, and they're really, really neat to see.
I've been to walks in Bangor before, and it was really heartwarming to see, because they would walk around Bass Park and to with someone with Alzheimer's in a wheelchair, and they would walk them around the track, and it was heartwarming to see family members do that and to bring them out.
Oh, it's so neat. We have a flower system where people, you know, will select different flowers, whether they're a caregiver, whether they're a person living with dementia, whether they've lost someone, or whether they're just supporting our cause. And when people raise up those flowers during the ceremony, you just see how so many people have been touched by this disease, and they bring their loved ones, they're bringing their families. There's huge groups of people all there in solidarity to say, you know, let's find our first survivor. Let's make sure we've got better advancements in the future so our children and grandchildren don't have to encounter this.
The picture of those flowers and everyone holding them is a beautiful sight. Peter Baker, thank you so much for being here from the Alzheimer's Association. You're a wealth of knowledge, and I hope that you'll come back. The helpline, if you want more information, is 1-800-272-3900, 800-272-3900, and log on to alz.org. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.